I love to worship. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. If you have your scriptures with you this morning, please turn to John 8. We are in John chapter 8 this morning, verses 12 to 30. If you're using a pew Bible, it's page 894. As you're turning there, just to kind of give you some context what's happening. If you were here last week, we did John 8, 1 through 11, and we said that that passage is actually isn't in the earliest manuscripts. It didn't show up until a couple hundred years later, and they inserted it there. So we're not sure if the passage where the woman caught in adultery occurs right there. It probably didn't chronologically. It's an event that happened. They just don't know for sure where it should fit in. So the passage that we're reading this morning, verse 12, actually picks up, they think, right after John 7, 51. So that gives you some context. If you remember a couple weeks back from that, we're still on this last day of the Feast of Booths, Feast of Tabernacles, where Jesus, during this water ceremony that was going on, he said, I am living, if anyone thirsts, come to me, and living water will flow through you. So we're on this same day, this same great day, this last day of this great feast of tabernacles or booths where these things are going on. So that kind of gives you where we're at. There's hundreds, thousands of people in Jerusalem there for this event, for this festival, when Jesus speaks these things that we will read this morning. So this is John 8, 12 to 30. Let's pray first, and then we will read. Father, we pray that your Spirit would, he would help us to teach us, that he would guide us into these things. There's many things, way too many things for me to go over this morning, but I pray your people would take these things home, look at the details, wrestle with them, apply them to their lives this week. But I pray that you would bless the preaching of your word this morning, for we want to come and hear from you. And so, Lord, we pray you'd help us to see Jesus as light of the world, someone we need to take to those around us, that they would know how to live. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll begin at verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one, meaning in that same way in the flesh. Verse 16, yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two men is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you, you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. That I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." And as he was saying these things, many believed in him. This is God's word. May the Lord bless it this morning. D.L. Moody, he writes a story. He said, "One day I saw a steel engraving that I liked very much. I thought it was the finest thing I had ever seen at the time, so I bought it. It was a picture of a woman coming out of water and clinging with both arms to the cross. There she came out of the drowning waves with both arms around the cross, perfectly safe." He loved that picture. But then he writes, "Afterwards, I saw another picture that spoiled this one for me entirely. For him, it was so much more lovely. It was a picture of a person coming out of dark waters with one arm clinging to the cross, and with the other, she was lifting someone else out of the waters." He said, "That is what I like to keep in mind." He said, "As I go through life, I keep a firm hold on the cross of Christ, but I'm always trying to rescue another from drowning." As we've been going through John, I'm hoping that you see that Jesus not only wants to rescue you from your sins and lives of darkness, but he wants to use you to rescue others with this message of life. As we go through this passage, it has many, many details. There's some great points for us to keep in mind as we share our lives, share our testimony, sharing the truth of Christ with others. Look at verse 30 as it gives me hope as a pastor, as a person who talks to people. It says, "As he was saying these things, many believed in him." As we've been going through John the last couple of weeks, it seems Jesus has only been meeting opposition, frustration, and hostility. And we said there will be times like that. There will be seasons like that. But look at this, just in a matter of minutes, many people are believing in him. Light is breaking through and people are seeing their need of Jesus and trusting in Jesus. People had a message. A message that people believed in the Spirit of God, took those truths and blazed into their dark souls till they were awakened and they would see and run to Jesus. So I want to look at 4 points this morning from this text to help us as we talk to others, as we share with others, maybe to be reminded for ourselves again. 4 points that we need to give people, that he is the light. Jesus is the light that we need to give them in order to rescue them from their lives of darkness. He is the light. Let's look at 4 points this morning. The first one, as you're talking to people, we tell them about this great offer. There's this great offer. Jesus offers himself as light so that people could see that they would be known, that would be known and forgiven. He is the light. Look at verse 12 as we walk through this. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." What a great offering. Here, Jesus again takes upon himself the covenantal name of God, I am. If you remember back in Moses' time when God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush, Moses asked who he was, and he said, "I am that I am." Jesus says here that "I am," and he attaches to it the light of the world. This is the second time he's done this earlier. In chapter 6, he said he is the bread of life. The light motif in John is huge. Light is wonderful. Light is beautiful. You know what it is, you kids, to be in a dark room, you want the night light on. When you're out walking in the fields, out in the streets or whatever, it's good to have the flashlight on your smartphone. light is beautiful. When you're in a dark room and you light a candle, it lets you see everything. And Jesus is saying, I am this God, and I'm light to the world. Let me explain to you one of the things, the ceremonies that are going on. Again, this is occurring during the time of the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. There were ceremonies going on. There was the great ceremony with the water, but there's also one going on with the light. Gary Burge explains that in the Mishnah, which is a collection of Jewish oral traditions, it talks about this day. And you have to see this. You have to picture this in your mind. So they're in the temple court area. It's an area that was made for the women. The court of the women, it's called. This has been huge with beautiful limestone all around. You have the temple itself, then limestone on the ground. And what they would do during the ceremony, they had four huge, large stands where they had to get up on ladders. Each stand had four bowls. So there's 16 bowls on four stands. Picture one here, one here, one back here, one back here. They would be filled with oil. They would put undergarments in this oil that would act as wicks, and they would light it on this last night, and it would just glow. Imagine what a bonfire looked like. Picture four bonfires just shooting up into the flame, reflecting off the limestone as the Levites and different people were walking around with torches, singing the psalms and hymns to God. It was a big celebration. What do you think that looked like, these four stands? It looked like a big pillar of fire going up. And remember, the Feast of Tabernacles, they're remembering, they're thinking of the time of Moses when God delivered them and God walked them through the wilderness. And how did he walk them through the wilderness at night? By a pillar of fire. So in the midst of this celebration, in the midst of this ceremony, Jesus stands up and says, I am the light of the world. I am God. You imagine the people's reaction. What? You're this deity? You're this God who rescued the people back then? He says, yes, that is me. Light is huge in the scriptures. Psalm 27, the Lord says, I am the light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Psalm 119, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light for my path. And as our call to worship from Isaiah 9:2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light has shined. And that light is a child, for he continues, a child is born, a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Again, in Isaiah, when it's speaking of Jesus, prophesying of Jesus, he says, I will make you a light to the nations. You will open the eyes that are blind. You will bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. And John declares at the beginning, in Jesus was life, and he was the light of men. Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. I am this pillar of fire. I am this thing that gives you direction. I am this thing that gives you hope. I am this God who gives you deliverance. I want to go through this Isaiah passage real quick with you when he said there's a light that shines in darkness, and it's this child who is born to us in Isaiah 9. It says that the government is on his shoulders. And this light, where you're supposed to connect with this light, that he is the sovereign God. He's sovereign over the nations. He's sovereign over the countries. He's sovereign over the states. He's sovereign over the towns, the communities, your work, your life. The circumstances and events of your life are watched over by this God, this child, this light, this Jesus. He ordains and has purpose and meaning for everything that comes into your life to shape you to be a godly man or woman. He uses it all. Good and the miseries. God doesn't waste a thing. Someone once said, God uses our miseries for ministry. He takes us through some hard things. And God wants us to see, for light in our life, we need to recognize that Christ is this sovereign God. He is the I Am. this passage also says he's a wonderful counselor. Do you need some counseling to get through this life? Do you need some wonderful direction in this life? Well, Jesus is that counselor. Jesus created you. He knows how you tick. He knows where you have strayed. He knows how to correct. He knows what will harm you. He knows what will give you joy. And the best thing about this calendar, he's never too busy to make an appointment. He's never too busy to make an appointment. He always has time to walk with you. He is a wonderful counselor. He talks to you through prayer. He talks to you through his word. And he talks to you through his church. You need some light. You need some counseling. Jesus says, I am that light. This light is always also called Mighty God and Everlasting Father, or Father of Eternity. We are weak and we are frail. I know some young guys out there think we're pretty invincible when we're young. I used to think that way. One day you'll wake up. It'll hurt. We're not that strong. We're not that strong. I need a mighty God. I need a mighty God to carry me. I need a good Father to shepherd me. I need his strength. I need his wisdom. And this light that's talked about in Isaiah 9, it says he's a Prince of Peace. Do you need peace? Do you need wholeness? Do you want to be done with guilt? Do you want to be done with the stain and of sin and the sting of death? Do you want forgiveness? Do you want to be forgiven and be able to offer other people forgiveness? Jesus says he's this peace. J.C. Rao writes, what the sun is to the whole solar system, the center of light and heat and life, this is Jesus to his people. It's a great offer. And when you talk to people, you offer Jesus, who is this great offering. He's all these things, the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, the sovereign Lord. You offer Jesus, and he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Give this great offer to people. He offers it to you. The second thing we see in this passage is people will say, well, how do we know that Jesus is true? How do we know? How do we know that he can give us these things? Jesus' response is that he's divine. He's heavenly revelation. His will is God's will. And to know Jesus is to know God. Let's go through verse 13 in your scriptures. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. And if you have your own Bible, you can underline this next part. For I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. He's heavenly revelation. And he continues, but you do not know where I'm come from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. Here's another four you can underline. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. Jesus' will is God's will. And in your law it is written that the testimony of two men is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. And underline this, if you knew me, you would know my Father also. These people are wrestling with Jesus' claims, and as you talk to people, they will wrestle with the same claim, and we say, well, Jesus is just not no ordinary man. Yes, he was human, but he was fully divine. He is saying he is heavenly revelation. Jesus' will is the same as God the Father's will, and to know Jesus, to know God the Father. These bulls are a claim indeed and worthy of death if they're not true. If they're not true, Jesus should be called a madman, a lunatic. Jesus is saying, listen, I am from God. I always do what God does. And to know me is to know God. This is of utmost importance for you and for when you talk to people. Because there's a lot of confusion out there about who Jesus is. Listen, Jesus is not the Archangel Michael. Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you that. He is not. He is the I Am. He is sovereign. He is divine. Jesus is not the spirit brother of Satan. Mormons will teach that. Jesus is not that. He is the great I Am. He is the sovereign one. He is divine. Jesus is not just a prophet from God. Muslims will teach that. He's not a mere man. He is the great I Am. He is the God. He's not just an ordinary man like me, like you. He is the great I Am. Jesus is saying, I am holy. I am infinite. I am eternal. I'm unchangeable. To know me is to know God. Earlier in chapter 5, a few chapters before, Jesus gave a list of witnesses. He says, the Father testifies about me. John the Baptist testifies about me. My miracles testify about me. The Scriptures testify me. But here he's just saying, look, I am from heaven. I am from above. My will is to do God's will. How do I know Jesus is the light of the world? Because he is the great I Am. He offers life and hope, just not as a man, but as the great God. And I can believe and I can know. Why? Because of Easter morning. The grave is empty. His claims are true. He is the great I Am. So we tell people about the great offer that Jesus is. We tell them that he is divine. That's how we know. And we offer to them this radical solution. This radical solution to their sin. It's Jesus and his grace, compassion, and mercy. His grace, compassion, and mercy. Look at verse 21. So he said to them again, I'm going away. You will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself, since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you all die in your sins. Jesus makes it pretty simple. You will either die in your sins or you won't. And he says the only way that you will not die in your sin is to believe that he is who he claims to be. And to believe that his work on the cross was sufficient to atone for your sins. There's a newer movie out there called I Can Only Imagine. So spoiler alert, I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you a little bit about this movie. It's called I Can Only Imagine. Some of you might know this song. It's by Mercy Me, I Can Only Imagine. It's a story, it's the life story of the lead singer and how he came up with the song, but it's his life story. His name is Bart Millard. But in the movie, his dad is basically a monster. He's violent. He's cruel. It's ugly. And as he gets older in life, he gets cancer, and the dad, in God's mercy and his grace, God takes the cancer that his dad has and uses it as a means to wake him up. He begins to see how ugly he is. He doesn't want to die in his sin. And he turns to God. He turns to God. His life is radically transformed. His heart has changed. His son doesn't know whether to believe him or not. But after spending time with him, he just sees this huge difference. A man that was only full of hatred and meanness and violence, full of love, compassion, mercy, and it was his sin. He became awakened to his sin. He didn't want to die in his sin. And Bart says in this movie, I know God is real. For if God can change a monster like my dad, he can change anyone. This is a reality check for you and for those who you talk to. There is a solution of all, there's a problem for all of mankind they have to deal with. You will die. You will die and stand before God and give an account. And Jesus says, you'll either die in your sins or he can have them all taken away. Jesus offers this radical, gracious, compassionate solution to this problem of sin. He says, you either die in it, or you believe and trust in me, and you'll have it. You'll die in peace. That's a message to take to people. That's a message you need to embrace yourself. You will die, but you don't need to die for worry of condemnation. You don't need to die wondering if you are forgiven. You can turn to Jesus now and receive him as Lord and Savior and die with peace and victory. You can rest on that bed knowing you are going to eternity in the presence of God forever. Jesus says, you either die in your sin or you believe that I am he, I am, and you will have forgiveness. And how can just believing in Jesus take away our sin? Well, he tells us. He says, when you see the crucified Son of Man, you will know that he is the light of the world. That's our last point. When you have the spiritual eyes to see the crucified Son of Man, you will know that Jesus is the light of the world. In verse 27, they did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. You will know. When you have the spiritual eyes to see Jesus as the crucified Son of Man, you will know that he is the light of the world, that he is the great I am. When it starts to make sense, when you start to grapple with your sin, knowing that you deserve condemnation, when you see him there in your place, when you see him on the cross and the justice of your sins are met out on Jesus, but yet the mercy of God on display, for Jesus' arms are open wide, welcoming any of those who will come, those who are humble, contrite in heart, willing to receive him as Lord and Savior, he says, come. When you see, I am the answer, you will know that he is the light of the world. That he is the I am. He is that pillar of fire in the Old Testament. Great points to know. Great points to remember. Great points to own for yourself and to give up. Give people the great offer of Jesus. He is the light of the world. He is the sovereign. He is the mighty God. He is the wonderful counselor. He is the Prince of Peace. How do we know? Because he's divine. He is divine revelation. To know Jesus is to know God. And he's the only one who offers a radical, compassionate, gracious solution to your sin. There's no one or nothing else. He says, I'll take it all away. I'll take it all away. You had to see me on the cross for you. This was all for you. No condemnation you'll ever have to dread. You can die in peace. This is a message you must know. This is a message you must take out to those. Cling to Christ. Cling to his cross. Hold on to it. And with that other arm, see how many God will use to rescue others. And as that last verse says, as he was saying these things, many believed in him. May the Lord Jesus answer our prayers, that he would bless our efforts, that we would take this good news of living hope, that there is an answer to our sin problem. His name is Jesus, and he is light. He is a wonderful counselor. He is a Prince of Peace, and he is a sovereign God. Know him today. Tell others about him. And let the Lord bless our works and our labors. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for Jesus. He is the mighty King. He is the mighty Son of Man who would go to a cross to pay for every single sin of his people. Lord, help us to see him as the great I am who is worthy of praise, the great I am who would take on humanity, that he would take on flesh to know what it means to be tempted, to struggle, and yet without sin. Lord, we thank you for this message. It's a hard message, but it's the message we need to know and hear. Unless we believe that he is who he says he is, we will die in our sin. Lord, bless our efforts. Bless our prayers. There's many around us that we know in our homes whom we come in contact with. Lord, open the doors. Open their eyes. Give them eyes to see Jesus. Help us to speak Jesus with grace and boldness, we pray. Amen.